You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, Series 9, Episode 4. We're calling this week's show Double Delight because, of course, we had our first double game week of the new League of Ireland season. We had Premier Division matches on the Friday and on the Monday. And, of course, we had First Division games on the Friday night as well. So we're going to cover all of the action. Myself, Kieran Burke and Gary Riley. We're brought to you as ever by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. And I was at a game on Friday and on Saturday. Got to the Drogs Galway game the Friday. Spoke to Ryan Brennan there. So we'll play a bit of that audio. And on the Saturday, I spoke to Dylan Hand after the first Midland Derby, the El Clasico, first Derby of the new season. So we'll hear from the Athlone skipper as well. So we've got quite a bit to get through, plenty of talking points, particularly from the Monday night games as well. What we're going to do at the top of the show, as you know, if you're a regular listener, we usually drill down into every game, all the main talking points, but just there's far too many games to do that. That certainly would be a 3 or 4 hour pod. So we're going to start by looking at, we're going to call it the good, the bad, the indifferent. Who had a good couple of days in the Premier? Who had a bad time of things? And who had kind of an indifferent couple of days? And Gary, I suppose, looking at the teams, we'll just spin through the results quickly for anyone that was living under a rock over the last few days. Friday night, Cork City 2, Bows 1, Shells 1, Rovers 1 on the telly, Drogs 1, Galway 1, I was there. Pats 4, Sligo 3 in the best game of the season so far. Derry, they were beaten at home by Waterford. And then last night, Sligo Rovers picked their first win up of the season, beating Shamrock Rovers by 2-1. Pats, back-to-back wins. They beat Derry by 2-0. Waterford beat Cork in a very entertaining live game, and I imagine we'll be speaking about Tim Clancy's comments. Bows were beaten again, this time at home by Drogheda, and it ended Galway 1, the champions Shelburne 1. So I suppose we'll start with the teams that had a good couple of days. Gary, I think it's fair to say the champions, they'll be disappointed maybe not to have come away with the 3 points in Galway last night. But positive performances against, I think, Rovers and Galway. I know they didn't pick up maximum points in either of them, but I think, again, as we've been saying in the first couple of weeks of the pod, they look quite strong this season, Shelburne. I think they're going to lay down a big challenge.
Without a doubt, I think you're right to put them in the good category. To be quite honest, I think the result on Friday and the performance was quite good. You know, no matter how Rovers are going, you know, they're traveling to the champions.
Yeah.
In Talca Park. And, you know, I think they did reasonably well. Only for that, like I would say, even if you look at the 2 goals they conceded over the 2 games, one was an own goal, a complete mess up in Galway from the corner. Should have never really occurred. It seemed to be two players getting across one another.
Yeah.
And then another miscommunication on Friday, which left the ball to McAniff to pass into the goal. So, like, when you put it like that, I think they should be relatively pleased with their haul over the weekend, considering that they weren't dominated at any point. I know Galway had their spells last night, but I think Shells, well, I think Galway have to thank Brendan Clark for
great saves.
A load of saves.
Yeah.
So I think Shells should be quite pleased with their work over the weekend.
Yeah, some people might have them in the indifferent camp given they didn't pick up a win, but I think the manner of the performances, they just look like they're going to be incredibly hard to beat again this season, and that was, of course, the platform to win in the league last year. So I think they're following the same formula, and every chance it'll be just as successful. On their opponents last night, Galway, a good couple of days for them as well, because I was at the game in Drogheda on Friday, and they weren't great, to be honest, particularly first half. Very rare you see Galway getting roughed up, but Drogheda did that to them. And they got out of jail with a set-piece goal, and then similar last night. So it's easy. You know, I spoke to some of the Drogheda folk after the game, and I was like asking the usual question, you'd be disappointed to give away a set-piece goal, but it's so, so difficult to stop this Galway team from set-pieces, as we've seen over the last couple of days. So I don't think they were at their best, definitely on Friday. From what I've seen last night, maybe fortunate to get a point as well. So to come away unscathed from the 2 games when not playing their best football, I think John Caulfield will be happy enough overall, to be honest.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I know Drogheda had a good few chances to win the game Or like go one or two. Or
Conor Keighley had one cleared off the line, and had that gone in to make a 2-0, I don't think Galway were going to come back, given how, as I said, they weren't great on the night.
Yeah. That it could have been a disastrous, start to the two-game window or two-game, weekend where, they could have been, or we'll say, get one or three points against Drogheda because you're entertaining Shelburne on the Monday. It could have been a very lean weekend, but they did quite well to get points out of both games. So I think, as you said, I think John Coffey would be quite happy. It's early on in the season. To be rescuing points is quite a positive. So I'd say he'd be relatively happy with that.
Now, the last time I was in Drogheda before Friday night was, of course, the Friday before when they comfortably beat Sligo Rovers by 3-0.
Yeah.
What a turnaround since then for Sligo. They had the thrilling game on Friday night in Richmond.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Cian Kavanagh getting his hat-trick there.
And missing a penalty.
As I said, I was at the game in Drogheda on Friday against Galway, and I was in the press box, and someone turned around to me and said, "Oh, no, Cian Kavanagh's missed another penalty." Straight away, I thought, oh, geez, we've only just had a podcast called Humble Pie a couple of weeks ago where we were talking about having egg on our face. And I was like, me bigging up Cian Kavanagh for a big season. He's missed two penalties in his first two games. And then a few minutes later, someone turns around, he's got a hat-trick.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, right, he's up and running. I think Adam is the captain of my fantasy team as well. So, look, they lost against Pats, but I think they took a lot of positives out of the performance, and they carried that into Monday night, to last night, with the victory against Shamrock Rovers. First win of the season against the Shamrock Rovers team, who haven't won themselves. So that was a huge, huge result for Sligo Rovers. So a very good couple of days for them, I think.
I think so. Like, they needed a bit of a boost. Like, as you said, like, they lost on Friday, but I think the boost of scoring 3 goals, missing a penalty, and it happened so quickly. Like, there were 3-3, and next thing you know, I was making a bit of dinner and had it on, and 3-3, I was like, geez, it's some game. And then I went in to check on the food, and sure enough, it was 4-3 by the time I turned around again. They'll be disappointed, with that. Like, they did drag themselves into the game, and then to concede again is obviously frustrating. But I think, as you said, the fact that they, what did they call themselves, their opponents last night.
Good roster.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think it, boosted them as well. So really good result for them last night against Shamrock Rovers, who, as you said, haven't had a fantastic start to the season.
No, and I mean, the 2 goals they give away, Gary, they're 2 set pieces, really, really poor goals for Shamrock Rovers to concede. And that seems to be a theme in the early part of the season, as it was last year, of course.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to know. Is the squad very light? Yes. I think that's going to cost them.
They brought McInniff, Burke, Gaffney and young Victor off the bench last night. Jack Byrne was on the bench. Sean Robertson, who just signed, was unused. I don't know if it's that light. Now, at the back, they probably, we keep saying it, they could have done with strengthening that back three. I think young O'Sullivan played in the back three last night with Lopez and Cleary. There was no Grace. So I still think that's the area that is most vulnerable. But I'm looking at their 11 from last night. Okay, you probably look in the forward areas and say you've got a 16-year-old and you've got Aaron Green, two different ends of the scales of their career altogether. But Gaffney came on, as I said. I don't know how long it's going to take him to get up to speed. Probably a good while. But Danny Grant was one of their big signings. He played. Watts was back. O'Neill was there. Healy, big signing in the summer. Honan, who was their best player last season, probably he played. So I don't think there's any excuses in terms of the personnel they had on the pitch last night.
No, I know that. I think for me, the depth is going to be a problem. They're not motoring. They haven't got up to speed at all. Mm. I know they were at the same crack last year and the year before. And I know you also said it about Stephen Kenny never starts out great with his squads down through the years. So I suppose, it might take a bit of time to get motoring, but I don't think, we saw they left themselves, and even Stephen Bradley said it at the end of last season, they left themselves too much work to do.
Yeah.
And I know it's game week 4, so it's not dead and buried yet, but you can't be tricking on.
Mm.
Last year, it took them a good while to get a win. or was that the year before? I can't.
Well, the last two years in a row, very poor starts.
Yeah. It seems to be something that they can't rectify. I know, and one thing that I probably would say is they've been playing football. I know on one hand, they haven't got any rest because they had to keep an eye on Europe.
Yeah.
But also they should be like...
Tuned up. Yeah. And so, that was the thing, just going back to the Shells game on the Friday. Shells looked the sharper team.
Yeah. I think there is a jadedness in there. Like, yeah. On one hand, there's...
Well, like, this is what I feared coming towards the end of the season. I thought early part of the season that, as you said, they'd be more tuned up than this, but...
I don't know. Is there an element of, like, I'm sick looking at Stephen Bradley. I'm sick looking at Dylan Watts. I'm sick looking at all these lads because...
You've got Noonan there. Noonan, who is a new... I know he's 16, but he's a new signing. Grant's a new signing. Healy's a new signing. McGinty's a new signing. There's plenty of fresh faces around the camp.
Oh, yeah, but you're still sick of looking at them as well because you've been looking at them... You know what I mean? I'm not talking about, oh, there's a new fella there.
I can't agree with your point because even like McInnes barely played last year. Burke barely played last year. Gaffney's coming back now. Like there's enough freshness there that they should be performing better in the early part of the season than they are. Just one point I want to pick up on Sligo Rovers off the back of that big win last night. John Russell made a big call. He dropped Sargent, the goalkeeper. He's looked shaky in the first couple of games, but we've seen probably keepers have worse debut matches and managers keep faith with them. But he brought in young Connor Walsh last night, a goalkeeper who he actually seen in Longford last year getting sent off for Wexford. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, I do remember that.
The night Adeyemo scored the belt of a free kick.
Yeah.
Adeyemo! Yeah, Walsh was the keeper sent off in the lead up to that free kick, but he did very well. Out on loan at Wexford last year because he did.
He kept a handful of clean sheets, didn't he?
Yeah, remember us talking at the start of last year, all the issues and the chopping and changing in between the posts at Wexford.
Yeah,
Walsh came in and steadied them and kept a lock of clean sheets, as you said. And he's been given his chances, like, and he's played a lot of first team games before, so he's got a good bit of experience. I think he's only 21 or something, but he's got plenty of experience. But he played last night, and that was a big call from John Russell, and it looks like he got it right. Let's talk about another team that had a very, very good couple of days, and that was, of course, St. Pat's. Did they arguably have the best double game week of the whole lot with the win against Sligo on the Friday and then the win against Derry last night?
Yeah, I think so. I think, like, gets their season up and going more solidly. There's obviously a lot of talking points last night from the Derry game, but...
Well, go on, plough straight into them. Penalties, two penalties and a red card. How many of those three big decisions did the referee get right?
I'll let you go first. What do you think?
Start with the Mason Melia one, first one.
The red card?
No, the penalty, the first penalty.
I'm surprised that the ref took so long to make the decision.
Took an awful long time.
Yeah. Which doesn't help his case.
Does that lead you to suggest that someone else made the decision for him?
I don't know. I can't see why. Like,
he's the nearest to it. The linesman's the wrong side, I think, to see that.
Yeah.
I thought in live time, looked a penalty, watching it back, a little bit soft.
I think it was a little bit soft, but I think there is a bit of a tangling. Like, if you ask yourself, why would Melia go down there? The ball is at his feet. He's 10 yards out from goal. Like, what striker wouldn't try and smack it? I don't think a striker exists that does that. So, I can see why there was a delay, but... it probably is on the softer side, but I would have probably erred on the side of a penalty here, to be quite honest.
And then, what was it, the red next, or was it the second penalty? I think it was the red, wasn't it? The red came next.
The red was next.
What's on that? Again, this is one where I'm going to give the ref a bit of leeway because we only get one angle. It looks harsh. It does look like a harsh red card. People that were at different sides of the ground had different views of it. I know some people have said that it looked like his studs were very high one side. The other side of the ground said, no, it didn't really look like that. In the VAR era, if this was a game on Sky Sports with VAR, there's probably a freeze frame somewhere that shows his studs quite high up on the shin. And you'd pause it and you'd say, oh, that's a leg break or that's a red card, you know.
Kill him.
We get the one look at it and it looks harsh. But again, the referee has the best view of it. So, you know, I'm willing to put faith in the referee here and say, okay, he probably got it right. But I can see both sides of the argument here as well. And I'm genuinely not trying to sit on the fence. But again, you only get one look at this, one angle. I've, you know, watched it on YouTube, hit the freeze button a few times. It's impossible. It looks harsh. But what? Again, the referee might have a totally different view on it. He might think that it's dangerous or high or whatever.
Some technical advice here. For anybody on YouTube, if you press the comma key, it goes back frame by frame. And if you press the full stop key, it goes forward frame by frame.
VAR light.
Yeah. So you can go frame by frame. There's two things.
And you still won't have a clue. You look just wasted half an hour. But anyway.
Yeah. But I actually would have given a red card for that.
Would you? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there is... if you look at the... You know, there's the second camera and it's closer. He's off the ground for a period of time leading into that challenge.
Okay.
He's completely off the ground. And you can't see it on the first... On like the live video. But if you look at the replay on the second camera on the YouTube...
I'm watching it at the second here.
Yeah, there you can see a shadow underneath him on Winchester, right? He's off the ground at that point. While he connects with Melia on the ground, there is a loss of control. There's a loss of control in the process of the tackle.
And compared to the ref's reaction to the first penalty where he's very indecisive, let's say. Right there. I'm looking at him. He's 2 yards away from the tackle. He's straight to the whistle.
Yeah. And that's why... And he doesn't fully get the ball before the man. There's a Mason Melia element here to him getting the ball. And I think it is by far the correct decision, to be quite honest. I think there is a loss of... When you go off the ground like that...
Yeah. You're gambling.
You're not gambling. You're asking. You're looking for a red card. And I think that's what happened here. I think it was the right decision. I can see why there's a lot of talk about it, because he ends up with the ball at the bottom of his feet. I can totally understand why Derry fans feel hard done by, particularly with their start to the season. You know, they're shite. So, you know, anything like this is going to add to your pain and suffering. But the referee has made the decision quite early, and no amount of talking is going to undo that.
What about the last penalty that's given?
I
only get the behind angle here.
It's not ideal, but like...
It looks like a leg comes across. I think it is a penalty. I think Keane, again, makes plenty of it, probably as Melia did, but that's your job as a striker. If Adam O'Reilly is going to be naive enough to stick out a lazy leg in the penalty area and I'm Aidan Keane, I'm going across it.
Oh, absolutely. Sure, you'd be a bollocks not to. You know, as we often say, the saying goes, you give a ref a decision to make. You know, if you look back at it and you look at the run-up to it, Keane takes it and then goes to his right, which is away from goal.
Mm.
And I think it's Connolly that's right up his arse. So unless he's going to, like, you know, go straight through Connolly, he doesn't really have much of an opportunity to, like, say, shoot at that very difficult angle. You'd have to be asking what the hell Adam O'Reilly is doing.
Yeah, Connolly has him covered there.
Connolly has him covered. Yeah. He's going away from goal and he doesn't have full control of the ball yet.
Yeah.
So he's going out towards the chipper out there behind, you know, in the far corner.
Yeah.
What's he doing? Why is Adam O'Reilly sticking a boot in at all? And he does catch him. He does catch him high in the leg. So it's a stonewall penalty. I like this idea of all this, you know, everything's going against us. Lads, look at the video is here.
Mm.
The only thing that you could be moderately questioning is the first penalty. But because that's happening so fast, you know, he's running into the box, and as I said, like, what striker isn't going to shoot, especially someone like Mason Melia?
Mm.
can't see why, you know.
Just on the two penalties themselves, is there a better striker of the football in the league than Aidan Keane? He just hits it so, so sweet.
Well, absolutely. But I think you see that in the
goal in Galway.
Yeah. Well, apart from that, but also there's a shot that comes in. I think it's before the penalty. Now Maher makes a really good save, but he absolutely smacks that shot as well. Yeah. And like, you're just there, Jesus, this fella can absolutely swipe it. So yeah, obviously when in a dead ball situation, 12 yards out, no one around you, you're going to have to put your house on Aidan Keane at the minute. Apart from his like being confident and doing well for Pats at the minute, like he's so sure of himself when he's striking the ball. Never mind his like ability to strike the ball. I think the mental aspect of it as well is really good for him at the moment. So two good penalties as well.
We'll talk more about Derry in a second because they're definitely in the bad column. But just rounding off the teams that had good Monday, Friday or Friday, Monday schedules. Mm-hmm. Waterford on the Friday, a 2-1 win up in the Brandywell. So links in nicely about the Derry conversation here. And then last night, I watched the live game on Virgin Media and I really, really, really enjoyed every aspect of that Munster derby last night. First of all, we're probably going to have to stop saying this every week, but the Virgin Media coverage is just brilliant.
Yeah,
you wouldn't have thought that was a Monday night game you were watching last night. I'm watching the teams come out. They've got the drone up. You see a heap of pyro going off. Unbelievable atmosphere, which is carrying across. And sometimes the live games, and particularly on LOI TV, I've noticed it with certain grounds. For example, I was speaking to a few people that were down in Tralee the other night for the Dundalk game where they brought the 300 down. And I was watching the highlights and I was like, geez, I wonder did the boys that set off at 6 o'clock in the morning, did they hit a wall come kickoff? Because there was very little atmosphere carrying through watching the highlights. I was chatting to a couple of Kerry fans down there and they're like, the Dundalk fans were brilliant. They never stopped singing the whole game. So just certain streams or whatever, it doesn't seem to carry across. But Virgin Media last night, the atmosphere was really carrying across. The visualization, as I said, the pyro going off both ends of the ground. Just the whole thing looked really professional. You've got some great pundits in the studio. Really, really good coverage. And as I said, it didn't feel like just your average Monday night game. This could have been a game from any league in Europe that you were watching in terms of the atmosphere, the presentation, the colour, the whole lot. And then the game itself, really open in the first half, end to end. Cork capitalising on the fact that Waterford were leaving a lot of space in behind. Brilliant goal from Alex Nolan. Absolutely sensational.
Shocking then, defending.
It was, but I'd rather focus on the attack.
Yeah, I know that, but by God, the defender was shit.
Because even the finish, like, very acute angle. And he just buries it.
Yeah.
The big turning point in this game, everyone will say it was the red card, and we'll get to that in a minute. The other big turning point was Greg Bulger having to go off at halftime because he was sensational in the first half yesterday.
Yeah, that's part of it. Like you know, he's an old fella now, like, to be fair to him. So, like, I'm not sure, like, how are you going to be able to hang your hat on him going forward? You're probably not just going to be able to do that anymore. As good as he is and as a, you know, good, you know, obviously he won the league last year, the first division with Cork. But, like, he's been around for so long. It's going to be difficult to hang your hat on him, though. Like, are you going to get 30 games out of him this season? You know, it's going to be a tough one for Cork.
Yeah, I think the last time he was in the Premier of Sligo, he missed a lot of games that season, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Like the extra week, you know, like the, as you said, the Friday, Monday, like that's tough.
Yeah,
that's just hard work at a, you know, at out of 22, you know, playing 90 minutes of seriously competitive football. But like at that, you know, after injuries throughout your career, you know, I'd say he's a sore man.
The red card, the second yellow, obviously we'll get to Tim Clancy's comments in a minute. That's the big talking point out of the Monday night action. But did you think it was a second yellow? I did, personally. I think he's unfortunate, the lad, because Tommy Lonergan takes a heavy touch and the Cork defender, his eyes lights up for a second and he steps in and Lonergan's just too quick for him, knocks it round him. And there is contact now. I don't think it was intentional. He's kind of just got done by the pace and the quick feet of Lonergan. And he's kind of just clattered into him.
Yeah.
But for me, that is a second yellow. You've been done by the trickery of Lonergan. But
I think that's extremely harsh. Like, if you look at it, if I'm standing there and you're running and like you're all over the shop and you plow into me, I know that's a free kick against me, but I don't think that should be. I'm standing my ground.
It's high up the pitch too, though. You know, it's in the final third as well. That might have come into the ref's consideration too.
Well, it shouldn't. Nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's no...
I just don't think, again, it was the most outrageous of decisions I've ever seen. There's a lot of talk about referees again this week, but there's plenty of decisions I'm looking at where I can see why the referee has given it. And I'm always happy to accept the decision in that case.
Yeah. In Inchicore last night, there was all decisions were correct. That's a fact.
I think so.
Yeah. Oh, thinking so is wrong. The three decisions were right. I don't have any...
Again, there are three decisions, though, you can give good, solid reasoning behind. It's not one of these, what on earth is the ref thinking here? What on earth is the ref seeing? You can see why he's giving it. And I think this is the same here. I think there was talk after the game that maybe Ammon might have possibly been offside for his goal. Now, I've looked at it, and it is very tight. But again, without VAR there, we are talking half a boot, a shoelace. So I'm willing to give the linesman the benefit there. It's great movement from Padraig Ammon. And I tweeted it last night. He is an absolute joy to watch. And I know Rory Higgins was raving about him last night on Virgin Media as well, about his enthusiasm for the game at this age. It's still so infectious, and it's great to see. I fully agree with that, because it's just the little things around the box. And even his cross sets up the winner for Waterford last night. And it's a case of Ammond being a centre forward, knowing exactly the sort of ball that was required there and the sort of ball that he'd want to be on the end of. And he's put it in there, and the big man's got his head on it. Cork keeper makes an unbelievable save. He had a great game last night, the keeper. Very unlucky to come out on the losing side.
Yeah. But
Ammon's little touches around the box, how he brings players into play, how he holds it up, the runs he makes. He's just an absolute genius. He's still a level above most strikers in this league.
I'd be inclined to agree with you there. I think he actually was offside. If you look back at the highlights, there's he's running back onside, and like
his boot is offside.
His boot is offside.
Yeah.
But that's still offside. And I know it's difficult because like he's going back into an onside position. The play was passed back, like it was recycled back out to the edge of the box. So like it is a difficult one for the linesman.
The linesman as well, like Ammon, again, for me, he's a cut above most strikers in this league. That's a little piece of movement that you don't see from a lot of other strikers. And I think the linesman's been caught out there as well. Like, this is a man that was playing at an extremely high level for most of his career. And again, you have to remember the officials, they're not full-time professionals. And I think he's just been caught out here by... The defenders have certainly been caught out. I think the linesman's been caught out as well. He's marginally offside, so...
But if you look at, we'll say, the ball being kicked into the box from the penalty, from just at the edge of the penalty box into Ammond, he's offside when that's kicked. But by the time the ball gets to him, he's probably a meter onside.
Yeah.
So if you're taking all of that within, you know what, the second that it took for all of that to happen, it's reasonable, I think, for the linesman to give that as onside.
Especially when the linesman's watching the ball, he's watching other stuff going on. I personally think it's a much tougher job than referee.
Oh, it's brutal, yeah.
Yeah.
I think for anybody that wants to look at it, them pair of egots, not us, Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher went and did that. There's a video of that on Sky Sports YouTube or some shite where they have to follow it, and like there's players they have it set up for the linesman education or whatever. I think that's a really good example of how difficult it is. So if anybody's interested and gives linesmen abuse like everybody does, I think that'll help you understand them. I'm not trying to educate anybody, I'm just saying that it's so difficult.
Look, so I suppose you can kind of see why Clancy might have been frustrated, but I think a lot of the frustration would have been from within his own frustration with his team dropping off so much in the second half. Yes, they lost Greg Bulger, but they weren't good in the second half. Cork City, Waterford were very poor in the first half. So for his team to drop off the amount they did, I think he was frustrated there. He goes over to the ref after. They have the exchange that they have. I'd love to get your views on that. Well, look, a lot of these post match.
Yeah, I was watching last night. I was like, oh, geez, this is great crack.
great content for the pod.
Yeah, but not even that. It's just good content as a content enjoyer.
Mm.
I think he was. I think his characterization of, like, the way he said it, I told the ref that he had a shocking night, or he was shocking.
Mm.
And then the indignation of him. Oh, how dare you say that? I thought your team were shocking. Yeah. How, you know, like, even the logic in Tim's brain to go, I can say this.
But this is the thing with football fans, right? And I know what? Tim's not a fan. He's a manager, right? But I see this all the time and I always laugh at this. I've seen it before where you're at a League of Ireland game, particularly in years gone by where the crowd was smaller, right? And you can kind of hear the ref and the players and the linesman. And, you know, you'd have the fans and players berating the officials for 90 minutes, effing and blinding out with them. And the very odd time you would hear a linesman or a ref or someone tell a player to F off or go way out of it or something. And straight away the fans would be like, oh, you can't speak to him like that.
Yeah.
Arrogant. Yeah.
There is a little bit of that. There's no question about that. Now, I would say, no, definitely League of Ireland players and management can correct me. I would doubt that any ref has told too many people to F off in their time.
Oh, it definitely happens.
Oh, I'm sure it does, but I'd say it's for the amount of effing and blinding that they get, I'd say it has happened less than 0.1% of the time. I'd say it's incredibly rare. The one thing, and I think this has been kind of meted out online and different places, the ref can't then give a card.
Spot on. Yeah.
I think that's reasonable. Like, if Clancy, but you see, the other thing is, we're only getting Clancy.
Yeah.
You know, we can't ring up Damien and go, well, Damo, what's the crack? What happened last night? You know, that's an internal FAI process. So, like, he might have said that, well, I thought you were shocking. And then I'd say Clancy was a bit economical with what he told Virgin Media versus what actually happened.
Well, again, we don't know, but we were chatting off air, and that is the point I made to you. The ref, I think, can get into a back and forth there, but he can't get into a back and forth and brandish cards.
Plus a card.
Yeah. You either have to be the authoritative figure where once the manager approaches you and starts giving you a bit of stick, you give him a card and you say, walk away now or you will be sent off. Yeah. Or you get engaged in a back and forth and you have it out and that's it. And maybe you can put it in your match report after and whatever happens after, but I don't think you can go brandishing cards. We asked our Twitter followers last night, where do you stand on this? I wish this would get off my screen here. Elon trying to sell me something. Right, here we go. Where do you stand on this? Should a referee be able to give a bit back after being on the receiving end of stick, or is it simply unprofessional for a referee to talk as he did, according to Tim Clancy this evening? Here's some of the replies we got. Mick Conroy, I'm all for it if you dish it out. Don't cry when you get it back. Some fans whinging when an opposing player abused all game celebrates in front of you after scoring. That's a good point. Alan Jones, take team bias out of the equation. A manager should be big enough to deal with the consequences of his word and actions. A referee to comment on the standard of a team's play shows obvious bias. Jonathan, just shows there was nothing wrong with the refs here and his eyesight was questionable though. Rebel Army, who are obviously Cork fans, no issue with the ref having a pop back. It's a bit unprofessional, but I think if he takes it, he's entitled to give a bit as well. However, what he allegedly said brings his integrity into question, and he should sit it out for a few weeks.
Not remotely.
Who else are we going? Unprofessional, but funny as hell, if it actually happened. Paddy, in fairness to the ref, he said it after the game, had no bearing on the result. Connor, unprofessional from both sides. Red card for the Cork manager was right, but the ref is a spoofer and really should have been taken off the next few weeks of the games because of his comment.
No.
Walter, tasting your own medicine is nasty. Jack, absolutely not. Your job is an official, not a pundit. Keep your gob shut. Clancy was spot on. Then again, the argument to that, Jack, Tim Clancy's a manager, not a pundit himself, so you could spin that quite easily. Daniel Shields, yes, absolutely, but if you're going to be given stick back, you can't be just firing out cards as soon as something is said to you that you don't like. Refs are absolutely victims nowadays. Wouldn't necessarily agree with the last bit, but there's mixed views there very much. So thanks to everyone that dropped us a tweet, but definitely mixed views. But I think Daniel there, probably in alignment with us, where we stand on this, give a bit back, can't really go dishing cards out at the same time.
But like, let's say if I was McGrath last night, right, and then I have a fuming Tim Clancy coming up to me, up in my face,
excuse me,
right?
Yeah.
And he said, "I thought you were shocking tonight." The instant reaction, if I was in China and was like, you know, teleported to that, didn't know anything about the game or who was playing or anything, I would just instantly say, "Well, I thought you were shocking." It's an instant reaction. Mm. It's not like integrity into question or like you're a pundit this. It's just an instant human reaction to go,
yeah, I think know, there's I a lot. I do I agree you with you. Shy. I'm not sure what word you used at the top of the segment here, but you were just saying about it was the indignation of Clancy. Like,
yeah.
I think there is a good touch of faux outrage here over this, to be honest.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I thought you were shocking. And then the way he spoke back to me, oh, it was just disgraceful. Are you joking me, Tim? Like, he needs to give his head a wobble.
Yeah.
Looking back on that today, I thought he was totally, whatever it was, like, you. The idea that, like, and this is like the whole ref, you know, even like what's it, that comment about, like, or refs are pure victims. He had someone come up to him saying, "I thought you were shocking. I thought you were this and that," and whatever else was said. I have very little faith that Tim. I thought you were shocking. That was not what was said. Let's be clear about that. Like,
but we don't know. We don't.
Yeah,
know.
I know
you
that.
Don't
but
know either, so.
I don't know either. But like, we've watched enough football to have a fair idea what went on in that conversation. And
I will say there's definitely refs in this league that will say stuff they shouldn't say. Mm-hmm. Could be described as arrogant. I don't know really Damien McGrath personally. I don't think he's done a huge amount of Longford games over the last few years. He is premier, one of the leading refs in the country. So I couldn't really tell you what he may or may not have said. But there's definitely refs that will give it back. But look, I think we'll put a pin on this. I think, I think Clancy, maybe a bit of frustration there, borne out of the fact his team were quite poor in the second half. They let the result through their fingers. And I think the referee probably could have approached it better himself. But I think overall, a bit of a non-story here, really. But for Waterford, a very, very, very good. They're up there with Pats and having one of the best double game weeks because the win in Derry followed by the win last night in the Derby. And, I think just the last team that had a very good couple of days was Drogheda, a point at home to Galway in a game they played quite well in. And then a big win in Daly Mount Park last night.
Absolutely. Really good. Oh, the second in the table now.
No, we're not looking at tables yet, are we?
Look, you know, you have to look at it. I don't know. It's good to look at it when you're at the top of it, so you might as well enjoy it when you can. Mm. Really strong opening to the season for them. Level on points, I think, with Waterford. Is it at the top? So, like, what possible complaint could you have?
Without their two best players, arguably their three best players at the minute in Alicia Huey, Douglas James Taylor, and Joshua Thomas.
Yeah. But I think there's, like, as you mentioned there, there's players stepping up, like Shane Farrell.
Oh, he's been amazing, Gary.
He has been immense. Immense.
We're going to hear from him in a second.
Yeah.
Just to, usually the content that goes on our members club is exclusive to the members club. But with this being a double game week, it's very, very difficult to get access to players and managers in between the matches, which is totally understandable. So I did speak to Ryan Brennan and Connor Keeley after the Galway game on Friday. I'm going to play you a bit of the Ryan Brennan audio because we haven't had Ryan on the pod before. And I'm going to bring you later on a bit of audio with Dylan Hand from the Midlands Derby on Saturday. These were played out first on the members club. So our members are going to skip forward a few minutes when we start playing these. But for everyone else, this is just a taster of the sort of content that is on the members club each and every week. So if you want to sign up, then go to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI/membership and you can sign up there. But we will have some audio with Ryan Brennan in a second. But yeah, to follow up on your point, Gary, Brennan, Farrell, absolutely sensational in the middle of the park at the start of this season. And Farrell played a big part in the goal in Dalymount last night. He's so good at set pieces. The thing about his set pieces, I'm not just talking about free kicks where he's having a pop of goal like last night, but his crosses from free kicks and corners, he hits them so flat, but pacey.
Yeah,
it's such a good weapon to have.
Yeah, it's a very, and he's very consistent.
Yeah,
in like if you look at the highlights, you see a few crosses that he pegged in, and like they're very similar. They're reliable for his colleagues on the pitch. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So like he can, you know, they do cause a lot of problems for defenses. But yeah, he's having a fantastic season, and I don't think you know, all my Bulls fan base,
we'll get the Bulls in a second because they're definitely in the bad column, so we'll go through
I was just going to say, like, Drogheda played nothing last night, but they still got it over the line. They still picked up the 3 points away from home, even though they were playing nothing but Scutter. So you still, while you're challenged, like you're playing against like strong teams, we'll say they dominated Galway the other night, and they picked up 3 points
against Pats.
Sorry,
and they were defensively strong against Pats over the weekend as well.
Exactly, and then they still went ahead and won the game in Daly Mount last night. So I think they're having a really strong opening to the season. I hope it can continue for them.
A final point on them as well. The man that got the winner last night, Thomas Alua, I personally wasn't sure he'd step up to Premier Division football, and he's had a very, very good start.
Absolutely, yeah. Got his goal last night as well. So, yeah. I know. And to be honest with you, I feel the same way. I'm not 100% convinced, but... I think Drogheda will get the best out of him at the same time.
Yeah. So with that, look, let's go and hear from Ryan Brennan, because he was absolutely sensational on Friday against Galway. And then after this, we're going to have a look at the teams who had a bad couple of days across the league.
Ryan, a 1-1 draw, you remain unbeaten, and you got yourself a goal tonight as well. How do you react to the game overall?
Yeah, look, good point in the end, I suppose. They threw caution to the wind for the whole second half. They put a lot of bodies on and got a lot of bodies forward. Probably didn't stick as well as we wanted up top in the second half. Gave us a little bit of relief to try and get up the pitch at times. Saying that, the two boys were brilliant in the first half, but for us, a little bit of a signal, but probably would have took a point at the start of the game. But I know it's a point gained, and we'll go again and bounce into Monday.
Yeah, obviously could have been a different game if Connor's chance wasn't cleared off the line, but you'd be disappointed to give away the goal in the manner you did with the set piece.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we pride ourselves on not conceding set pieces, and we were probably lucky enough not to concede one last week. Could have been a different game as well, but look, we just have to get back to the training ground. You get a hold of your man and not be better to force ball, but James lost his man, and I think maybe other lads around the box could have dug him out a little bit. But for us, it was a sloppy goal, limited them to kind of very little, I think. So for us, I'd say, look, point gained, don't be too disheartened, and we've been trying Saturday, Sunday recovery, and then bounce into Monday and Daly Mount.
And just your goal, it was put on a plate for you by Conor Kane, a fantastic cross.
Yeah, I think it's about a foot off the line, so it was just about getting above the lad. Conor put it in a great spot there for me, so once I kind of I got the flight of the ball, I kind of knew once I got in tag it was going in. So look, they don't come as easy as that, but off the mark for the season, and hopefully more to come, because they didn't score enough last year, so we'll see how that goes.
I was here last week as well, and yourself and Shane in midfield, very impressive, and same again tonight. Are you enjoying playing alongside him? He seems to have a real engine.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're dogging nothing there. We've a couple of players that can play and be nasty at times as well. Like, obviously you don't look at Darragh Mackey in them situations, that he's real easy on the eye when he carries the ball and stuff, but he's little ratty, he's ratty when he gets around, and nicks the ball high up the pitch for us as well. So look, we probably didn't do enough of that in the second half, and for us we played probably into their hands a little bit, and look, we dealt with a lot of long balls, but there's always a chance when they bombard you like that you're going to give up a chance. So look, we're fairly unlucky, but as I said, we take the point and we move on.
Yeah, it's a fair point you make about Darragh, because in the cup final I think he probably covered more grass than anyone. It's a side of his game that's maybe overlooked, because he is so technically good on the ball. But as you said, there's lots of grit in that Drogheda midfield this year. You look like you're going to be a team that's difficult to beat once again, particularly here.
Well, hopefully. That's what I said. We pride ourselves on keeping our shape and working hard for each other, and I think it shows out there as well. But as I said, there's three games played, a lot of injuries might creep in, suspensions and stuff like that. So there's lads to come on the bench, and we've a big enough squad there to deal with that if that comes as well.
You seem to pick up a hand injury during the game. Is it okay?
Yeah, I think it just got caught in a jersey. It's a little kind of sprain, but nothing too major.
And you had another game coming up on Monday. I think there's nearly a question every year going into the year, is Ryan Brennan still going to be around? People seem to think you're pushing 40, but you're still in your early 30s. You look incredibly fit at the start of the season. How do you feel compared to maybe, say, 5-6 years ago?
Yeah, well, I keep coming to the end of October and November and thinking, I think I'm done. But Kev keeps ringing the phone and I can't get rid of him now at this stage. But look, for me, I kept myself right over the Christmas. I was away on holidays and done a lot of fitness work over there in the sun, so lost a lot of weight and feel nimble and a lot lighter around the pitch. And I think I've shown it in my performances, getting around the pitch and breaking up play. And look, as I said, chipping in when I can and making it to the other team's box, and still a threat in there as well. But for me, it's part and parcel of the game, and being in the six and having the legs to get around and help the boys out in and around there, and then give the ball to the better players and let them go and do the business. But for me, look, stay fit, happy enough, touch wood, don't get any injuries, and I'll be happy.
Well done on the goal, thanks very much.
Nice one, cheers.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Right, so from the positives to the negatives, I think we should just say probably in the indifferent column, the only team really in the indifferent column, probably Cork, Gary. Because they had the win against Bowes on the Friday, but then they lost the game last night. So I think that's very much a different weekend. But overall, it's still been a good start to the season, because we would have expected Cork probably to be down towards the bottom and maybe struggle. But they look quite strong, particularly in the final third.
Now, did Keating go off last night?
No, Maguire went off last night. Yes, I should have mentioned that as well. So they lost Maguire and lost Bulger. So
that's two major problems. Mm. So hopefully they're not out for too long, either of them. But I will say, like, I'd probably put that into the more good column.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Because I had to put someone in the indifferent column.
I would be, you know, good to indifferent. What's that phrase in horse racing?
I'm
with
not
the
sure.
Ground,
good to yielding. Good to soft places.
Yeah, some shit like that. Yeah, some made up phraseology.
Tacky side.
I think Cork fall into that department because I think they're doing well enough for the start of the season. And plus, you know, that game could have went either way last night. That was a very late winner for Waterford as well. So nothing to be concerned with just yet.
Yeah, from good to soft to soft to heavy here. Rover, Bowes and Derry, I think they're stuck in the mud over the last few days. We've kind of talked about Shamrock Rovers a bit, so I think we'll move on from them, Gary, and talk about Bowes. We put out a tweet earlier on today, so again, I just want to bring the listeners into the equation here, because we do like to have as much interaction with our listeners as possible. Put out a tweet on the BTS account earlier on today. What manager is most under pressure in this early part of the campaign? LOI Fan TV replied, can't see Alan Reynolds lasting too much longer. And that got quite a lot of likes as well. Brian, hopefully Reynolds is gone by the time your next show is aired. So unless that happens in the next couple of hours, sorry, Brian. Johnny Lynch, Stephen Bradley and Alan Reynolds under pressure, surely. Can't see either board being happy with another bang average season, which is shaping up for them. I think it's fair to say Bradley's got more brownie points built up. Rennie being found out for so many for being so one-dimensional, no plan B, was always the same, says Pa Keane. Altai says Reynolds or Lynch. Jamie says Alan Reynolds, no doubt. Joe Cassidy, the Bowes boss, won't be there too much longer. Paul, definitely Reynolds. David Meyer, Alan Reynolds big time. Gary Toohey, has to be Reynolds. The Moose gamble looks to have failed, and outside of Grant, they didn't lose big players. Neil Perry, has to be Reynolds, fans allegedly turning on him already. So there's one or two other names floated there. Edward O'Callaghan, Patton mentioned Darren Murphy at Finn Harps, having lost all three of their games so far. There's a couple of mentions for Lynch, but overwhelmingly the listeners feel that it is Alan Reynolds that's under the most pressure at the start of the season.
A lot of Reynolds mentioned there,
and we did fear this if they got off to a slow start.
Yeah, well, look, it's a carbon copy of last season. with Devine.
Yeah.
They didn't win the cup. Obviously, they know, obviously no cup last year, but didn't win the cup. And a ropey enough start to the season, and it's get him out, get him out, get him out, get him out. Mm. When Reynolds was signed, I said on a number of occasions that he's going to need a handful of windows.
Yeah.
Now, he's gotten two.
And I think it's fair to say he's probably been backed. We thought they had a good window, so we can't just reverse type here on Bose, because anytime we've talked about something like this at Bose over the last few years, the first thing we've gone to is recruitment. So we can't be hypocritical of ourselves here now and start saying, the squad's not good enough, because there's probably a lot of that going on.
Let me finish.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. And then I'm going to bring up something interesting.
Yeah.
Not to say what you have to say isn't interesting, Gary. Sorry.
Yes, thank you. I did say that I thought they had a really good window.
Yeah.
You know, I thought they brought in, like, we'll say, what's everybody's name from Sligo?
Niall Moran.
Niall Moran, yeah. I thought Moussa was a good enough risk. I was delighted to see Colin Whelan. I have absolutely no idea why Talbot is playing, which is the opposite. But also needs to be said. Reynolds actually needs a bit more time. I do have concerns with the style of football, which is non-existent. And just the vibes is terrible. Do you know what I mean? Like, they are brutal. And I don't think there's a team in the country that would fear playing Bose. Mm. And not only that, I would get rid of four or five people there, if I was going to do anything. I think there needs to be like a wholesale refresh in the footballing side of the backroom team.
Right.
I have absolutely, now I've been saying this for a while, I said it a few years ago, I do not know what Derek Pender is doing there. I have absolutely no idea. He seems to be the constant in the last few years of shite in Bose. I don't know why, Derek, it's not working. We need a bigger clear out here. You need to go. I don't know why that is. Any answer to that? Would you know?
No, well, you're the Bose expert, not me. So
Bose expert, but I saw him there on the highlights or at the end of the game last night. I was like, oh yeah, he's still there. What's going on there? Why is everybody keeping him around when there's been years of failure?
And I know they did bring in a new face to the coaching team, but I know you wouldn't be a huge Stephen O'Donnell fan.
No, I would not. I think that was a terrible decision. It was a terrible decision at the time. It should have never have happened. And I know you're a fan of him, but I think there needs to be a football brain transplant done with literally any other brain at Bose.
I want to pick up a tweet.
It's an interesting tweet. Let's hear this more interesting than
Gary Toohey. Has to be Reynolds. The Moussa gamble looks to have failed. And outside of Grant, they didn't lose big players. I meant to tweet this off my own account over the last couple of days. So I obviously watched Bose on the opening weekend against Rovers. And we spoke about it on the pod that Moussa looked, you could see there's a baller in him. But he's obviously very unfit. But I've been watching some clips of him since.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be worried with what I've seen. He looks like he's getting unfitter as opposed to fitter.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I don't think he didn't start last night, I don't think, did he?
No, I think Whelan started.
Yeah. So, well, look, that was probably always on the agenda, Monday, Friday. The man's clearly, it's going to take him a while to get up to speed. I'm just looking, did he come on last night, Moussa?
He did, yeah.
He did come on, so he's been involved, but we're four games in now. He hasn't scored. He hasn't really looked like scoring. I don't really know what he's contributing aside from that. I mean, if he's not scoring goals, then he's clearly not bringing it to the, in terms of work rate off the ball. The gamble at the moment doesn't appear to be paying off, but it's still very early days. I don't think we were expecting him to be lean and mean after four matches, from where he's coming from in terms of the lack of football he's played, but
I think you're 100% correct on that, but I think what he was brought in to do was, if he gets the ball in around the penalty box, he puts it in.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, let's say, where he wasn't brought in because he's a dog, a hard worker, dog of a lad that is going to be up and down the field morning, noon, and night. He's going to be the lad that's like, what I envisaged was like more of a striker, where he stays up there. He doesn't want to know about tracking back or any of that other shit. He's going to put the ball in the net. And obviously, I don't think Bowes are good enough to even exploit that quality that he has. So I know you were saying that he looks more unfit, which is probably fair. But I don't think he's getting enough ball in around the box by Bowes. You know, the other 10 players on the pitch are giving him enough opportunities. Like, if he does get the opportunity, I think he will convert, but that's not happening.
How much longer will Reynolds get?
I really don't know. Like, I think if they're going to do something, I think it has to be more wholesale. Like, getting rid of the manager is not going to solve any problem here. If that's what they decide to do, it has to be, you know, everybody. It has to be a heap of lads gone, if that's what they decide to do. And that's how I feel.
Fair point.
You've tried replacing bits and bobs.
Yeah.
That hasn't worked. So the other thing is, though, and just the final piece, I've said it many times before, Bowes are completely without identity. They have absolutely no idea what they're doing from one week to the next. So I don't think a manager is going to fix that either. Maybe if you get a manager, like if you get Roddy Collins in, I think he would change the identity of the club football-wise. But I think getting, like let's say, for example, if Rory Higgins went there in May, while I think that would be interesting, I don't think that would change the direction of Bowes.
At least they won the title the first weekend of the season.
Correct.
Let's move on to speak about Rory Higgins' former club, Derry City. Not the ideal start for Tiernan Lynch. They were beaten on Friday by Waterford. Brandywell, and then on the Monday they were beaten in that game against St. Pat's, which we've spoken about in depth in terms of the decisions, but it's not paying off for the golden oldies just yet.
No, the OAPs. Yeah, it's going quite bad.
It's gone very quiet up in Derry.
Yeah, but it was quiet. It's quiet enough in Daly in the Phibsborough area as well. Not hearing too much anymore. But
must have been another storm. Wi-Fi outages all over the gaff.
I think, is this like bedding in? Just like bedding in? You know, is this like just, it's going to take time for us to gel and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, you said it last
week. Is it as simple as that? Is it?
Who did they play last week when we were talking about them on the pod?
They bet Bowes, did they?
They bet Bowes, but I said that I still had a fear that breaking down teams was still a problem for them, as it has been for the last number of years.
Yeah.
They're not creating very many chances.
No, they're not. They're not. And I don't, I'm not a fan, and you said it last week when we were getting the grief about all the old lads coming in. Well, if it works, it'll be a masterstroke, and if it's wrong, well, you signed all these old fellas and blah blah blah.
Yeah,
that's, while it's true, I'm still not happy about it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what their age profile is, but it's probably in one of the higher ones in the division. And I'm just not sure that's going to work out.
It's not going to work.
You don't think it's going to work?
No, it won't work.
Oh, you're nearly, so you've decided.
I said on the first part of the season, there's not a hope to win the league this season.
Oh, no, no. Yeah, I'm not even talking about winning the league. No, we're well past that, I think. Is there any, like, do you think, is it fourth or fifth is where they're going to end up this season?
Yeah, I think so.
And do you think, why is that? Is that because of the age profile and the players that they're bringing in? Would you nail your mask that that hard to the...
I'm just not that excited about their squad. I'm looking at the team that played last night. Now, okay, the likes of Liam Boyce was on the bench. Shane Ferguson was on the bench because it's Monday, Friday, and them lads are not going to play every single game.
But if you want to win the league, you have to have your best, you know, you have to do that. Like, you can't be doing load management.
Like,
you can't do that.
You pointed it out before a ball was kicked this season that you weren't happy with the centre-back options. Now, they've tried to address that by bringing in Holt. But I thought Connolly was very poor again last night.
Oh, God. Absolutely shocking. Shocking. I don't know how he's getting games.
There was no recognised right-back on the pitch for them last night. Despite all that's the money that they've spent, there was no recognised right-back.
And that was why Adam O'Reilly got managed to give away a penalty, because I think he was shuffled in at right back, wasn't he?
So yeah. Winchester got sent off. Diallo got booked. I think you're still relying on Michael Duffy to be a magic man every week. I just don't think, for all the money that's been spent, all these big names that have come in, I'm just not overly excited about Derry. Patrick Hooban doesn't look the happiest figure in the world, I don't think.
He doesn't, no. I think that's because, like, he needs to be fed. He's like a shark. If he's not moving, you know, he dies.
And he's also been the main man of whatever club he's been for the last 10 years. Bar probably that's that spell in the UK he had. No, but Liam Boyce has come in now. He's sharing that responsibility. I don't think, you know, Hoban's your man. Hoban and...
So do you think that, like...
Hoban and Patrick Hammond are the closest thing you'll get in this league to guaranteed goals, and hopefully we'll be saying the same about Aidan Keane come the end of the season as well.
Do you think that's... Like, Hoban needs to be the main man
for him to
perform?
I think so.
I think he's cuter than that. I don't think that would bother him that much, because... If I'm Patrick Hooban, and obviously I'm not, I'm a bollocks on a podcast, but I think he's done it. He is the man. So, like, I can't imagine, this Liam Boyce is here and I mightn't be the best man anymore. I think he's been killing it for so long that wouldn't even register with him. I think that he'd be looking at it like, I'm going to keep this fella out. This fella thinks he's going to be doing something. Or he won't be doing it here.
Hmm.
That's how I imagine Patrick Hooban thinks. That's the insight you're getting on Between the Stripes podcast. We're telling you what people think. It's like Jim Beglin. But I don't think that'd be a factor. I think there's, you know, larger issues in that squad.
Do you know who's had a very, very bad start to the season?
Brian Maher.
Yes.
We didn't pre-prepare that. That little interchange there. Yeah, not great. Really not great. And like, even if you think back to the opening game of the season, like that, what, the goal after 10 minutes, like pure shite. Like,
that set the tone for their season.
Well, certainly set the tone for the season so far. But like, even if you want to put it to you like this, there's four games gone and Lynch has to turn it around already.
Yeah.
Like, that's a very, very bad set of words to be having to think about.
You know, great crack signing all these boys that have played wherever, but if it's not working out,
what do you do then? Because a lot of these lads are on longer contracts. Road,
that's going to be a stick to beat you with.
Yeah, but like, we'll say that Holt boy, he didn't, like, he's on what, a 2-year deal?
Yep.
You know, and for like good enough money as well. Like, if he doesn't work out, like, you're stuck. You know, that's a large amount of money that's been, you know, written off onto a player that, you know, you probably mightn't be able to get rid of because he's on a 2-year deal at the age he is.
You spoke about Bowes there a minute ago, right? Lack of identity.
I did.
Right?
Yeah.
I think Derry are in threat of falling into something similar, because Rory Higgins has spoke about it. I realise we've referenced him a few times tonight, but he's obviously been on the telly. So he's spoken about it a few times since he's left Derry City, that he felt in the first couple of seasons, he went in there first, they were second bottom, I think above Longford. He got them into Europe that season. The next year, they won the cup, they finished second, right? And it felt like something was building. And then I think he said that there was almost a feeling that we have to try and win the league, have to win it. And they started signing older boys from Dundalk and signing big names. And I think the project kind of went down the wrong track a little bit. And I think they're doing same now. It's chips all in. They're signing these older players. And I think they've kind of moved away from naturally building a squad. And I think that might come back to bite them.
So would you...
Because say, as you said, sorry, you can ask me that. Because as you said, if two or three of these lads don't work out, what do? You just look at the transfer market again. Oh, here's another boy, 33. He's playing for Preston. He's playing for Hull. He's playing for whoever. Let's just sign him on a two-year deal. Is that going to be every window now?
Yeah. What's the solution every time? Yeah. Put a 33-year-old on a two-year deal, as you said, on relatively good
like
money.
Man United signing all these players that made no sense, signing Casemiro at his age, signing Ronaldo, even though I thought Ronaldo actually did well when he went back there. You know, they were just signing players for the name or for the sake of it almost. But there was actually no kind of like, does he fit into what we're trying to do here?
But if you put it to you, like, do you think like Higgins possibly didn't want some of these players?
Oh, I think he was the man that clicked the button.
You see, like, I suppose it's different. Like, I would say he would have known half of that Dundalk team that he signed.
Yeah.
So I suppose that's fair enough. But like, just Robbie Benson, where does he play? What team does he play for?
What do you mean?
He's with Derry as well.
Yeah.
Like, what's he doing there? Like, I still don't understand that. Like, whatever about these, like, players from abroad, or we'll say that whole boy that came in from
Dundee United.
Like, he was playing at a reasonably high level in the middle of his season. Like, he's already fit, relatively ready to go. Like, you think he played, like, 20-something games this season already.
Yeah.
You know, you could understand that.
Yeah.
But, like, I think Benson is done. I can't understand how that deal was made in a team that wants to get closer to winning the title.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I don't think that's the type of player that you're going to need to be signing. It seems like it was done. I still don't understand that deal.
Yeah, because again, you go back to the start of the Higgins reign and think of one of his signings that he made, Ryan Graydon from Longford Town. Had a good impact when he went there.
Yeah,
very quickly got his move. I see he scored again tonight for Fleetwood. They're the sort of players he was bringing in. And I think if he could go back in time now, I think he'd be more gradual with his squad building. But I think the pressure, because they were second 2 years in a row.
We're Derry. We've all this money.
Have to go and do it now. And I think they rushed it. And I think they've even accelerated it further now. And I don't think the formula is right there. But look, that's kind of our take on what has happened over the Friday-Monday set of fixtures in the Premier Division. We'll be looking ahead to this weekend's game shortly. But let's go into the First Division, Gary, and look at what happened over the course of the weekend there. We talked about that big trip for Dundalk down to Tralee. And aside from the fact that they won this game, again, 1-0, 3-1-0 wins to start the season, and they have a 100% record. I think the other big talking point was the Leo Gaxa red card. What on earth was he doing?
I think a bit of head loss there, wasn't it, really?
Like, he knows the bounce of that pitch. He knows you cannot stick your boot up there.
Well, no, yeah, obviously. But, like, that's what I say. It was just head loss.
I don't know what was going on. Yeah,
It was just a crazy decision. But, look, another really good win for Dundalk. You know, Kerry had a good start to the season. Would have been looking forward to this, you know, a Premier Division team falling down into the First Division, blah, blah, blah. Would have been a good opportunity for them, but Dundalk got another 1-0 win.
Yeah. UCD against Cove, 1-1 this ended. Is it fair to say a slow start to the season for both of these teams, or a slower start than you would have expected from them anyway?
Well, I've been bleating on about Cove in particular, where like they just signed half a squad, half a first 11 from Cork, who won the division last year. And I've said this a couple of times, and I'm going to have to eat me words a bit, because it hasn't really materialized yet. But I think over the course of the season, it's going to click. It has to click. I can't see why it wouldn't. I'd have to see, you know, if we're having a similar conversation come the summer, I'll obviously be even more wrong than I normally am. But I think it's a, a very slow start for both teams, no doubt.
Pitch in UCD is an absolute rag order.
It's in terrible condition. Yeah. Even though some, was there a promotion there or like some announcement there in UCD there, I think by the league or something there last week, and the pitch looked like shite, and it was like for the promo. It looked terrible. But I think there's a good bit of rugby being played on it at the minute.
Yeah, well, you can see the rugby markings on it. So just goes to show you let them ruggers boys on it and look what happens. Treaty United 3, Finn Harps 1. Treaty, their excellent start to the season continues. Very easily, they could have 3 wins from 3 themselves. But 3-1 winners here. They're up to second and they take on Dundalk on Friday in the top of the table class.
I think, is it going to be an incredibly long season for Harps?
Yes.
Like it.
Yes.
Is it going to... I can't see them doing much this season from what I've seen so far.
The word I keep using to describe them is limited. Extremely limited squad.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to be... Like, I know it wasn't great last year, but there was some...
Well, you had
green
success.
Shoots, let's say.
You had success last year.
Sorry?
You had success last year.
Big
got
loss.
No one to put the ball in the net.
Yeah. He wasn't sufficiently replaced. Where did he go? Ballymena or something like that?
Yeah.
I think it's just going to be a tough season for them. But really good start to the season for Treaty, obviously. How long will it last, though? Because we had a very similar start.
Deja vu. I think it might come... I think they'll crash back to reality Friday night in Oriel.
Do you want to give an early prediction?
Not just yet.
No, oh, okay.
Think comfortable win.
Oh, for your team. That's yeah. Nice. Okay.
Wexford 2, Bray 0. Mikey Rowe scored an absolute cracker in this one.
He did. Yeah, a good win for Wexford. Probably not.
About Wexford at the minute.
Yeah, well, they're going well. You know, particularly, like, that was a great opening weekend they had. And then, obviously, both teams had a week off in between, so you know it was only their second game, but I think it wasn't unexpected based on what we saw in the first opening game of Bray.
Yeah,
like I think they're not as limited, but I think they're limited nonetheless.
Yeah,
if you, and I know we're going to be talking about the town in a minute, but when you look at that opening game, I'm going to talk about the town, but this relates to Bray as well. I think Longford Town in the against Athlone on Saturday night, they had a lot less fear, I think was the big thing for me in that game. I think they were more comfortable, better going forward, more confident. And Bray only won that game from an own goal, a deflected header.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they did have chances, but like, I didn't think they dominated the shite out of Longford either.
No.
And I think they are going to have a very sticky season as well. I think they're quite limited too.
Yeah, I would agree with that fully. And that brings us to the first El Clásico of the season. And I have to say, right, we spoke about the first division in particular, but I think this is actually a point I'm going to make about the Premier Division too. We spoke a bit last year that, okay, yeah, at the end of it, we all reflected on what a brilliant year for the league. You know, Shells winning the title in the last few minutes, the crowds, the cup final attendance, everything. The European run for Rovers. But me and you spoke a lot last season about, Jesus, was there very few good games? And already this season, we've seen some absolute belters in the two divisions. Now, I think you were right in what you said when we were speaking on the opening weekend about the Virgin Media deal means we will see more good games on the telly because we're getting a game every week. So, of course, you're going to get bad games on the telly, but you're more likely, if you've got 36 live games, you're more likely to see a good handful of good games throughout the year. Compared to waiting 6 months on RT for a game and then it's shite.
Yeah.
And that really long lasting memory.
Exactly. And that really, you know, reinforces the idea that it's shite because you don't see it.
But I went to, as I said, Drogheda Galway on Friday, and that was far from a classic, right? It was a real throwback, old school game of football, physical, direct, but it was enjoyable to watch at the same time. Watched the Munster Derby last night, really enjoyed watching it. Pat Sligo the Friday night, game of the season so far. And usually when that happens, that Pat Sligo game, people are like, oh, the TV picked the wrong game. But Shells and Rovers was a very enjoyable watch as well.
Yeah.
And then the first division, Longford at Lone on Saturday, for the first time in a long time, I said, wow, what a really good game.
It was incredibly enjoyable.
Either team could have won it. Either team could have lost it. Two goalkeepers on the very top of their game. How often have we said that in the first division in particular in the last few years? Oh, we're usually always talking about goalkeepers here. The two keepers were brilliant the other night. And Matthew Connor, we've spoken about him a bit, probably disparagingly at times on this podcast.
Yeah.
He was brilliant. Harry Hallowitz has had his doubters. He was brilliant the other night. Really, really, really good game of football. Really enjoyable to watch.
Oh, yeah, it was class. I have to say, like, even after we do a broadcast, I think if we look back to all the shite that we talk, I'd say there's a ton of messages, oh, that was really enjoyable, good stream or whatever, shite game. But actually, yeah. This is one of the few times, well, not few times, but like a very good advertisement. I was talking to a lad in the chipper after it, a Longford Town fan, and he was like, could have won it, could have lost it.
Yeah.
But I think it was incredibly entertaining.
Very much.
For all the people that were there.
A good crowd.
A good crowd. But you'd also like, I'll come back to that. That was a good crack.
Yeah.
Well worth the money. So I would imagine, but just on the football side of things, I thought Longford Town had gathered up confidence from somewhere. Mm. I thought they were much more sure of themselves, willing to take a bit more risks. I thought Erhu in particular was very good at right back.
Brilliant.
He got done a couple of times by Tete.
Yeah.
But I think
he soon figured a way out.
He did. Yeah, he was sensational. I think Topku was, there might have been 8 Topkus on the pitch. he was absolutely everywhere. Starting to become like a bit of a leader as well in midfield, I found. Mm. Lots of chances created by both teams. Ref kind of made a hames of it towards the end of the second half. But
yeah, lost control a wee bit.
A wee bit, but not too
should
bad.
Should have been a red card for Athlone.
For which was that now?
Well over the top tackle in the far corner in front of the main stand. Last couple of minutes of the game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've watched back the highlights since, Gary. It was definitely a red card.
Mm.
Yeah, so you got that one wrong. But
fair enough. Good game, and like as a Longford Town fan,
you take a lot of heart from it.
A lot of heart
to put a pin on it, because we're going to hear from Dylan Hannon in a second. But Longford, very good performance. At Lone, okay, decent performance because they contributed to a very good game. Not as good as I thought they'd be.
No. Limited seems to be the podcast word of the week or whatever. Mm. But I think there's a bit of limitation there. There doesn't seem to be a lot of coherence or something like that, or like they seem to be a bit disjointed more so than what I was expecting, because they kept Robinson from last season. Tete was a good capture as well, but I don't think they seem to link it up as much as I was expecting. Like I was expecting more.
And they're from going Athlone. To I mean Colin Moore-Himwan, right, we spoke about him a lot on this pod over the last couple of years. He easily could have scored 2 goals the other night. Mm-hmm. And he actually played a big part in the first goal because he comes in like a steam train.
Yeah.
He basically just blows a hole in the defence and the ball falls to Ben Feeney and he tucks it away. So he is going to be a massive threat in the opposition box, but in his own defensive area, he's going to be a liability. And we saw that when he let the ball bounce. You're always taking a risk doing that on the edge of the area. Right, deal with it then. You've let it bounce, but deal with it. He heads it back to the keeper, underheads it, and Morris got a shot away and the keeper made a great save.
Mm.
But he looked very, very shaky defensively. So I think they're going to make they're going to give away a lot of goals because Matthew Connor can't play like that every week or he'd be playing for Real Madrid. and they've lost Dean Ebbe, obviously. Now, I think they will get goals with Williams. I'm not sure why Robinson's playing so wide. I'd like to see him up there with Williams. But there's a lot going on at that loan, I think it's fair to say. So I'm not sure if they'll gather it up this season like they have in seasons gone by. But I did get to speak to the Athlone Town skipper, Dylan Hand, after the game. He actually gave away the penalty that Longford scored. Doran had a very good game. He converted.
Does he say that it was never a penalty?
He doesn't say it in those words, but he was disappointed it wasn't a penalty. But anyway, look, let's go and hear from Dylan Hand.
I'm with the Athlone captain, Dylan Hand, after a 1-1 draw against Longford in the first Midlands derby of the season. Dylan, your reaction to that game?
Yeah, look, it was tough conditions in my opinion. obviously it's a Midland derby as well, so it's going to be one of them games where it's just a battle really, you know. And look, I think one all draw probably with the conditions and the way things went, it's probably a fair result in the end. But yeah,
back of your face in your former club tonight, you did give away a penalty. Were you disappointed with that?
I was, to be fair. Yeah, like I've gone up, won the header, and it's, I think it's just because my hands are on his shoulder maybe. But look, it is what it is.
You felt it was a bit harsh?
Yeah, I did, yeah, to be honest, yeah, with you. Yeah.
Chances at both ends, two goalkeepers were tremendous tonight.
Yeah, they were brilliant, to be fair to them. Matt in the second half, he came out and claimed a lot of stuff, which is what we need him to do as well. And the Longford keeper obviously as well, mate, pulled off some big saves as well. So yeah, both teams had good performances, I think, for the standards of the pitch, just because of the muck and stuff like that.
A good response after last week, was that, how important was that?
Yeah, massive, absolutely massive in my opinion. I think last week it was just one of them games when nothing went our way,
right.
But I'm happy with the reaction this weekend.
And you've had a tough start, I suppose, with the trip to Dundalk in the first game, the title favourite, so it's been a tough start to the season. Do you think it's time for you're going to get on the up and up after this?
Yeah, I think so. Look, the start of the season is always a bit mad in my opinion. Like, everyone beats everyone, some teams start really well, some teams fall off, but look, there's four rounds in each game, so yeah, I think there's a lot to play for. There's nothing really to look too deep into this time of the season.
I think this is your third spell at Lone, is it?
Yeah, this will be my second season in a row, but previously it was there.
Well, I was going to ask you though, in terms of the quality that's in the dressing room, this must be the strongest at Lone squad that you've been a part of. I mean, you've brought in some serious talent during the off season.
Absolutely, yeah. The signings have been massive, and I think a lot of people probably thought we'd be up there for favourites for the season as well, so that's why in my opinion the first, I know we've struggled at the start, but the squad and the quality we have, I think we've enough there to go and push Dundalk, Cove, whoever else it is. So yeah, really strong squad.
Dylan, thank you.
Lovely, thanks very much.
Right, let's move into the Between the Stripes LOI podcast, Gary. Predictions league, and unbelievable shooting from us last week, all three of us. It was me, you and Jim Fitzgerald, the Waterford fan, playing last week. All three of us got 11 points. So that means that we're still all tied. We're now all tied on 17 points. So it's a very high standard at the start of the season. And this week, we're joined by Jerry Desmond, who, as far as I could see from his Twitter account, is a Shamrock Rovers fan. So here we go. We're going to start with the First Division games, and we're going to start with UCD against Finn Harps on the quagmire that is the UCD Bowl.
Based on what we've seen so far, it has to be a home win here for UCD. I think they could do with it as well. You know, two games gone, no wins, 1 point. I can only see a win here. I think it's going to be difficult though. And actually, remind me to mention something about pitches and Stephen Bradley. But I think I'm going to go for a 2-0 win to UCD. I don't see how Harps are going to be scoring, as you mentioned earlier.
Jerry agrees with you. He's going 3-0 to UCD. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw here because I'm concerned about the pitch. I think that very much affects UCD, and I think Harps will be at home in those conditions. I think they might get a set-piece goal, so I'm going to go 1-1. Cove against Longford Town.
Difficult trip for the Town.
Down to one of the title favourites.
Absolutely. Well, certainly by my estimation. It's on the Astro pitch, though. A lot of games this season are going to be on Astro. I'm going to go for a nil-all draw.
You're going for a nil-all draw. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw here, and Jerry going for a 1-1 draw as well. The fear would be that maybe this is the week where it all clicks for Cove, but if Longford play as well as they did last week, they've got every chance of getting a result.
Absolutely, yeah.
Wexford against Athlone, you'd have to fancy the home team here.
Big time. Particularly after watching Athlone at the weekend, there's that disjointedness in the side. There's just no flow to them, I found. I think with Wexford's opening couple of games, five goals scored and none conceded is very nice. I think it's going to be a tough night for Athlone. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to Wexford. Mikey Rowe to score.
Okay, I'll give you a bonus point if that happens. I think they've got too many cute players for them, to be honest. I'd be worried about Athlone in the defensive sense. So I'm going to go 2-1 to Wexford here. Athlone might get a set-piece goal. Jerry Desmond going for 2-0 win to Wexford. So we're all thinking quite similar
and just,
there.
just as you mentioned as well, Cole, I think he went off injured there against the Town late on, and yeah, so that's not like what I know that you're not a big fan, but like he's still starting the games for Athlone, so
yeah, that's I said that they might get a set piece goal, but that actually takes away their threat from set pieces, really. So I'm actually going to change mine and go. I'm going to go 2-0 to Wexford there now as well. It's a good point you make. Dundalk against Treaty. It's top against second here, but I think, as I said earlier, I think this is where it maybe all comes tumbling down for Tommy Barrett's men.
I wouldn't be so sure. I think it's going to be a real test for Dundalk. Treaty did quite well. Have done quite well. There's no doubt about it. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Dundalk, but I'd be very, very close to 1-1 draw here.
Jerry going 3-1 to Dundalk. I'm going to go a step further. I'm going 3-0 to Dundalk. They haven't opened up on anyone yet this season. I think this is the game where they really take off.
Why is that? Why the team in second? What's making you say that they're going to open up on Treaty here? Is it just blind love for Dundalk?
No. I just think they'll be too professional for Treaty.
Fair enough. Okay.
It's a full-time team against a amateur / semi-pro team.
Yeah, sure, that's everybody else that they're playing in the division. Like, they've only beaten everybody 1-0.
Yeah, and this is the game where they open up.
Fair enough.
Kerry against Bray.
Great opportunity here for Kerry to tag another win on the board. I think it's going to be hard work for Bray. And plus, I know Bray haven't had a home game. I know because of the Carlisle isn't ready yet.
Laying that monstrosity.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to. I don't think they're going to be able for. For it, I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to Kerry.
Going exactly the same. Jerry not expecting too much goal mouth action in this one. He's going 0-0.
Fair enough. Yep.
Into the Premier Division, Waterford against Bowes. God, it'd be cruel on Rennie if Waterford are the one that put the nail in his coffin.
Yeah, well, they're also playing their old pal Keith Long.
Was it wrong for Bowes to get rid of Keith Long now, in hindsight?
It got toxic, as it always does.
Everything gets toxic at Bowes.
Yeah, but it did get toxic. It did. Like,
next manager just needs to rock up in a feckin' hazmat suit day one.
I don't see Bowes doing anything here.
No.
I'd need to see a serious evidence that. Which it's just non-existent, particularly with, I would say just as we were praising Parkhamon there about like his movement, his cuteness, like that's his game, if you know what I mean, like his cleverness in the box. He's not gonna run 12 kilometers a game,
no,
but what he's doing is like, you know, poacher job. And I don't think Bowes are going to be able for it. I'm going to say 2-0 to Waterford with I'm meant to score one, possibly the two of them.
Okay, I'll give you a bonus point if you guess the two of them.
Sound.
I'm going 2-1 Waterford there, and Jerry going the same. Derry against Galway.
Huge test here for
wasn't it Derry. Early last season Galway won up there with a Stephen Walsh goal?
Just can't remember that far
back. It was. I remember it was a. Remember he scooped it over the head of a defender and smashed it in.
Oh, probably someone's McElhenney or someone sprawled out on the floor. Give us your shout there, will you?
0-0.
Oh no, I don't see that. No, I don't see that at all. I'm gonna go for a 1-1 draw with Hickey to score for Galway.
Yeah, I could see that as well. Yeah. Jerry also going for a 1-1 draw.
And I can actually see it, like Connolly getting bursted into the ground by Hickey, like, you know, as if he was just a lamppost or something. Like, yeah, no.
This next game could be a good one. It was a good game in pre-season. Cork City, Sligo. Cork City won 6-3 in pre-season. We'll wait and see whether Maguire is fit and Bulger. Obviously, two big losses the other night, but this looks like it could be quite an open game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be goals in this one. I'm going to say 2-2. Pending, like, if Bulger is not there, I think he's a serious shot.
Yeah, and I'm in the same boat. Look, I'm going to go on the assumption everyone's fit and firing. I'm going to go 2-1 to Cork City. I think Sligo might struggle away from home, as I've hinted at this season, but I think at home they'll be a good side. But if they're missing the two lads, then maybe a 1-1, a 2-2 might be the way. Jerry going for a 1-0 win to Cork, so nobody expecting Sligo to come away with 3 points there. Then we've got the live one on Virgin Media on Friday. Again, great to have a game every week. It's Rovers against Pats. You'll remember towards the end of last season, Pats went there and absolutely opened up on Rovers.
Oh, God, it was, yeah. Obliterated them. Yeah, wasn't that like 3-0 or 2-0 at half time or something like that?
Yeah.
Well, Rainey got two or something.
Even though Rovers have had the slow start, I don't see the same happening here.
I don't, but I feel like Keane's got what, like 4 goals already this season?
More, I think.
Has he got 5?
Has he got 5 or 6 already?
I thought Hickey was near the top as well. I'm going to err on the, I think it's going to be a good night for Pats. I'm going to go 2-1 to St. Pats.
You're going 2-1 to Pats. Yeah. Jerry's obviously a Rovers fan, so he's going 2-1 to Rovers.
This is going to be a very tight game.
Yeah, very tight. 1-1.
Yeah. I do see, particularly like with Watts back for Rovers. I'll stick with the 2-1 Pats. I think it'd be a good crack that
Another game.
Game
that's going to be tight is Shells against Drogheda.
The Shane Farrell derby. This is in Talca.
Yeah.
This is a good test here for Shelburne. You know, it's a team like that you'd imagine that they'd be expecting to do a job on, but Drogheda never...
Two unbeaten sides.
Yeah. Drogheda never play their part like that. There's very few times that you can look back in the last few years with Drogheda that they lay down.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's never... If they're going to lose, like, you're going to have to, like...
Kill them.
Yeah, violently.
Or maybe.
You know, like, it's not...
Ice over.
Yeah. dig him up and kill him again. I think it's, yeah, I just feel though that I think Shells will just be a bit cuter. I and just have more firepower as well.
I think the two lads up front will be the difference here.
Yeah,
2-1 Shells.
I'm gonna go 2-0 Shells.
Okay, and Jerry going 1-0 Shells. Lovely, great show. So far, before we go, we've got the BTS hotline to go through. It's a bit of a different one this week. We just put out a tweet saying we record tomorrow, which is obviously now. Give us your reactions to the first double game week of the new season. Who have been the big winners and losers? Probably should have read this out at the very start of the show. But Brian, horrendous refereeing against Derry yet again.
No. Wrong.
Sam, ask Gary, are any togs been filled yet? Quite a few, I think, guys.
Oh. I don't think I've said that much this season.
No. Derry and Bo so far, filling them good and full.
Filling them good and full, yeah. I don't think there's much release there either. They're going to get fuller before they get emptier.
Git, I think it's safe to say we won the Money's No Object Derby. Good man, Git.
They certainly did.
Good to see him taking it the right way.
I'll tell you one thing. Derry are doing a... giving them a good run for their money, literally.
In the Money No Object column.
In the Money No Object column, yeah.
Lord Chuckles Academy, Doyle Hayes, Hakiki Mahan, sensational tonight. Solid performance defensively and a well-deserved win. Shams didn't get into the game, really. Quite poor at times. Huge win. Hope to capitalise against Cork this week as they've lost tonight up the Rovers. Wang Dang, every aspect of the League of Ireland is on the up with the exception of the officials who, from a very low base, are managing to go backwards this season. shocking so far and very concerning. I actually don't think the refs have been as bad as people are letting on so far this season, but I do think they need to be professionalised at some stage. Kieran Carrick, Shell's squad depth is a massive upgrade, but still light in defence if a couple of injuries come about. Really impressed with Norris so far and thought Temple played well at right back. Wasn't actually good to see. I meant to say this when we were doing the Galway-Bowes game earlier, but Cian Byrne was playing for Galway and Louis Temple was playing for Shell too. Lads served Longford very well on loan a couple of years ago.
Lewis Tempo was very unlucky not to score.
Yeah.
Great save by Clark again. Jesus, he was sensational.
Declan Crosby, Drogs back five and keeper have been fantastic. Kev has the team playing, has the team really well drilled. We're missing DJT and Ahui, who have gotten us 8 points. Still have gotten 8 points. Yep, he's doing a great job. Hugh McGee, Blues off to a good start and hopefully they can keep the pace this season. Derry in trouble. Liam Ruth, who's a Wexford fan, a red and five yellows from managers slash assistant coaches slash coaches in five games tonight. Bench is getting stuck in. I know we've spoken about that before, that there seems to be a very high level of that. I know with the Drogheda on Friday, Kevin Doherty got a yellow card and it was been claimed.
Darragh Doyle got one last night as well.
Did he?
Yeah.
It's usually good cop, bad cops. I'm surprised that Darragh are getting one.
Yeah. But,
there was a claim that apparently, now I can't verify this, and to be fair, I don't know how Kevin doesn't get more yellows. As much as I love him, I don't know how he doesn't get more yellows. There was a claim in Med that someone in the crowd shouted something and that it was mistaken for Kevin Doherty. Well, I'm not buying that because I think he's animated.
He is animated, but like
I've seen him. I've seen him a lot worse and not get yellows than once Friday.
But like I wouldn't have classed him as a major offender personally. Like you've been in Drogheda a lot more than I have.
Yeah.
So it's
he keeps the fourth official busy.
One thing though,
he doesn't really go marching out with his technical area. He'll make his point from wherever he is, you know. Unlike some coaches in this league.
Correct.
They own the touchline.
He nearly got a bit of butter in Bowes last night. He was right on the touchline and there was a bit of a throw-in situation and he had to he wasn't intentional, but he was just a mile outside his box and so he was in the region to get in the way. I don't think it was intentional, but it was just right below the camera, so he got a good view of it. One thing, give me some rope here. You know the way, like, since Formula One was bought over by that Liberty Global crowd and rejuvenated, and now every person on the planet seems to like Formula One, which is insane to me. But anyway, like, they changed a lot of stuff that was banned or took away by the previous crowd. So, like, we'll say, you know, all the sparks on the car.
Yeah.
Like when they're driving along, that was removed, or the ability for that to happen was removed in the previous era.
Yeah.
And that was kind of brought in because it looked cool and it added to the spectacle and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I heard in the Premier League that they're looking at like trying to calm celebrations as well.
Some lad get done recently. He scored against Palace and he made an Eagles thing at them.
Yeah. And something like that. Even though Jamie Vardy has been doing it for years. Like he's been rattling lads.
Scored against Spurs this season. He was pointing at the Premier League badges as if to say,
you'll never have that. Like, exactly. All of that's good rustling. Now, I haven't seen serious bad behaviour from managers. Or benches. Maybe I'm wrong.
Incident with Rennie, I suppose.
Which was what?
Up in Derry.
Oh, that was nothing. That was nothing.
I think he let himself down there.
No. And Lynch getting sent off as well. I think there's a bit too much penalisation going on. I think it could be reduced. Mm. And I mean, like, we want to see, you know, people going at it. I don't want to turn it into a whole entertainment piece. But we've been saying for years that there isn't half enough hatred in the league.
Yeah.
And like stuff like Duffer coming out, you know, last year there was Duffer and Reynolds chirping at each other and that type of stuff. I want more of that. I think
Duffer and Doherty have had a few back and forth too.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing that we complained about before was they're all doing the coaching courses at the same time. So they're all pals, all sharing notes and meeting up for study sessions. all of that doesn't help the bite, the thing. And final point about it is there's a lot of talk about the NBA at the minute with like ratings going down and no one giving a shit and the players doing more podcast episodes, for example, than playing games.
Right.
If anyone wants to look up Paul George. The point is, though, because there's no rivalries anymore because the players are changing teams so often.
Yeah.
But, like, it's hard to build up a, you know, narrative that, like, you know, a team has been there for in a certain place or a player has been there in a certain team for so long that, you know, I hate Boston, so I'm going to kill them because I'm with the, you know, whatever team. I'm just saying, like, we want to don't want to kill this like bite in it, and like constantly carding and sending off the bench is not going to add to that. So hopefully that is kind of calmed down a bit because it is a lot of cards to be given out in one night of football.
Yeah, fair point. I think the last tweet to read out is the best one to round the show off on Thomas Kelly. Never mind the big boys. Longford Town get a point.
Yup, out of it. just one final thing. I know I've been bleating on there for a while. Stephen Bradley made another comment about the Sligo Rovers pitch.
Didn't see that, I have to say.
I don't know if it was in Shamrock Rovers interview after the game or LOI TV after the game. I can't rightly remember. I think it was Shamrock Rovers. Like, it was crying about the pitch again. Like, are Shamrock Rovers the best ball playing team in the country? Like, are they the only ones that can be like bitching and moaning about pitches that they can't play their game and that's why they're losing? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I think, like, I'm getting real tired of hearing the same yarn all the time. Oh, the pitch. Like, I don't hear that from any other manager to the frequency that I'm hearing from Bradley. And I think he could do it concentrating on his own team, even after the success that he's had in the last year.
Fair enough. Look, that is where we will leave it. That was Series 9, Episode 4 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. A huge thanks to Gary, as ever, for joining me, Kieran Burke, and we were brought to you by Quinn AV. Don't forget to check out Between the Stripes on Twitter and on TikTok. Check out our members club as well. You'll get the links to that on both our TikTok and our Twitter. But for this week, from Kieran, from Gary, and from our sponsors, Quinn AV, we will speak to you next week. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.